But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Psalm 23, perhaps one of the most revered and well-known passages of Scripture. And for those who feel I simply selected it today, most of you know I don't get to select. These scriptures we have for today are the ones given for today. And this one, I have to admit, is a bit haunting in this, our pandemic Lent. At the moment, we can all relate a bit more than usual, perhaps, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It, death, may not catch us all this time. In fact, most will recover, we are told. But make no mistake, no matter the outcome, this time or the next, we are all in that valley, walking together. Which may be the most important thing to take note of today, to heed, no matter your age or pre-existing conditions or any of that. As it has been said, none of us are getting out of this alive, this earthly life, that is. It may not come now, but it will come for all of us. We are all walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and in truth, we always are. Some of you know I go backpacking on a somewhat regular basis with about a dozen clergy I really like, because if you're going to go backpacking and live with people for 5 nights on the trail, you better like them. On the first trip we took together through the Cascades, it became apparent, as it so often does, about 48 hours in, just all the extra unneeded stuff we had brought along, and that each and every one of us had at least one thing that we simply, irrationally overpacked. As we talked, one of the wise clergy blurted out, "We pack for our fears. We pack for our fears." That line has stayed with me ever since. I think it might have been in this very pulpit, but wherever it was, I have definitely preached on that line before, and in these last few weeks, it has been coming back to me more and more. We pack for our fears. On that first trip, one of our clergy, I kid you not, brought along a full-size umbrella. Not a fold-up kind, not a lightweight one really, but full-size. It was always right there, attached to the outside of his pack, because his greatest fear was being wet. And yet, as fortune would have it, and even though the week before we left, the Cascades saw a snowstorm not realized in many years, and even though it should have rained and snowed the week we hiked, not a drop fell from the sky for those whole 6 days. But he had his umbrella. I packed way too much food, because that's my greatest fear, and yet any of you that know me, and thank God for the distance on this live screen, because you probably can't see, but if you could, I think we would all agree I could afford to miss a few meals. Some feared not having enough clothes and brought way too many. The list goes on and on. We packed, most of us, more than we needed. We packed for our fears. And I couldn't help but think of this as I saw the notification roll across my Zoom-saturated screen this week. The headline read, $10 for a roll of toilet paper. I opened up the Associated Press article, which started with these words, and I quote, "One store advertised hand sanitizer at $60 a bottle. Another was accused of hawking it at $1 a squirt. Chain stores offered $26 thermometers and face masks at the, quote, everyday low price of $39.95. While a convenience store touted toilet paper at $10 a roll, next to a sign reading, "This is not a joke." And indeed, it's not. This is not a joke. Some of these stores were run by the same corporate moguls that stood with our president a few days ago, posing as answers to our problems. We humans can be a very strange lot indeed. It will have to come at a later time, and I'm not going to explore it much more here today, but what is it about our backsides that are so important? The absolute hoarding of toilet paper, or just about anything, what does this say about us? And so I came back to that line, we pack for our fears. We also hoard for our fears. And yet Scripture tells us we, especially we followers of Jesus Christ, are not to fear. Psalm 23 says it, "I shall fear no evil." And the admonition, "be not afraid," may be the most repeated commandment in the New Testament, almost always spoken by Jesus himself. Be not afraid. And yet we are fearful. I will admit I am. Fear has a good side. It can make us pay attention, and really a lot more need to start paying attention. Fear is real and human, and we will have it. But it really should not be what drives us. It is not what we worship. And we certainly profess not to be people of fear. It is times like these that test that. We will have fears, but the real question is, what will drive us? When you go back to Psalm 23, it is interesting to note that the Hebrew original was better translated, "I shall lack nothing," or "I shall lack no good thing." And I wish we would heed that distinction today. "I shall not be in want" is hard to attain. We all do want things, and quite frankly, we all do need things. But it is indeed a bit different to say, "I shall lack nothing," to trust in that. I feel we're going to get a good look at the difference in these days, and that might not be all a bad thing. This very thing we do here today, none of us want to do it this way, but it's also not the end of the world that we have to do it this way. We are isolated, but we are not alone. We are still walking through that valley together. Yes, 6 feet apart, and not nearly as often, and having to suffice with voice and video most of the time, but we are still connected. Our Episcopal chaplains in our hospitals told me this week that it's like nothing they have ever seen, and no one they work with has ever seen. They said to me, "If you could see what we are seeing, and you could be in the meetings we are having in which we're discussing the difficult decisions we may have to make in the weeks ahead, you would stay home. You would heed everything being asked of you. Please do it." None of those on the front lines are retreating. I'm sure they're fearful, and well, they should be, but that's not what drives them. They're not retreating because of fear. Instead, they're walking right into it for us. And they are begging us to not out of fear, but for the good of all, for them, for those who are fighting for life or soon will be, to simply stay in, stay home, keep your loving distance. That's the call on us right now. That's what it is to walk together in the valley right now. And even in isolation and separation, I urge you to be connected with those heroes, the healthcare workers, the first responders, those who are growing our food and delivering it, those that can't hunker down, but instead are being asked on our behalf to be right on the front lines. Meditate on them every day. Get one in your mind and just think and pray on them and with them. Walk with them every day in your heart and mind and in your prayers. They do what they do to protect us, and we should in turn do what we are being asked to help and protect them. In Psalm 23, it's interesting to note what one commentator did, that in the original Hebrew, there are exactly 26 words before and after the line, "Thou art with me." Perhaps the psalmist was making a point that God is always right in the middle of it all, no matter what it is. I believe that to be true. I stake my life on it. We are walking through the valley, all of us together, and right in the midst of it all is our God. My fellow followers, God is right here, even if we all can't be. God is right with you. God is with everyone suffering with this, and even with those selfishly ignoring all of this. You and I may not get to share communion right now, but in God, we are in communion. Even separated, we are communion. Maybe you can look at it this way. We have been blessed in our lives to be able to come to spaces like this and to share at tables like this. When we are here, we often give lip service to the fact that the real work is out there. Well, now we are out there, living it out, unable to come back here for now. But that's okay. Coming here was and will be again a great blessing. And now we might even say a luxury. We will certainly relish it when we can be here again. But no space, no symbol, no ritual, no manual act done perfectly or not done at all, no theology or ecclesiology will ever make us be loved one bit more or less by our God. Wherever we are, together or separate, surrounding this table or surrounding the world, God is in the midst of us, loving us. We are called to be the people that know that, that believe that, that live that. That's what we're being called to in these days. This week I was sent by two different people Franz Wright's poem, The Hawk, from his book, God's Silence. He addresses this poem to his fellow monsters, which I hate to tell you is us. He ends the poem with these lines: "Fellow monsters, while we are still here, for 1 minute, think about this. There is someone right now who is looking to you, not God, for whatever love still exists." I would not call us monsters, and I don't know all that is behind this poem, but I do very much believe what the poet asks us to think about, that someone is looking to us, not God, for whatever love still exists. To love now is to stay at home, to not be in contact, to give up some of what we enjoy, to sacrifice. Love now is to, especially if we have not lost our incomes, to give so that others can live, to share so that others might thrive, to love so that others might know love still exists. Let the world see, even if we can't gather here, what it is we always profess when we are here. That we are not driven by fear. That it is love that drives us, directs us, guides us. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We do that together, always. As we walk, may we carry these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.